Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now this is a proverb that I love, not because I measure up to it in any mentionable way. And it's not that I just enjoy being rebuked, but it forces us to see our Savior. But it also forces us to run to our Savior. It causes us, you can't see yourself except in light of Him. The standard, the perfect stone against which we are weighed, is Christ, not the law. Christ Himself, He is the keeping of the law. We don't even know what the law says. We don't even know it. If we ever heard it, we wouldn't even pretend like we measure up to it. But by God's grace, we get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thereby we compare ourselves and find not only that we look to Him as the example, but we flee to Him for the things that we lack, for the things that we're not. We flee to Him as our righteousness, because unless this is us, we have no hope, but it's not us. So where's our hope? Christ. And think about this again. He that is slow to anger, better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. If somebody raised the issue, if we started talking about being like Christ, we want to be like Him. And you began to think of everything that that meant. Of course, righteousness, holiness. We want to please God. We want to do those things that please the Father, like Him. We know that we can't. We can't measure up to God's standard in that, but we can imitate Him. That word, be ye followers of Jesus Christ, that means be imitators of Him. Like little children. It even says that. Like little children, imitate their Father. And we want to do that in His compassion and tenderness. That's our text. We're so quick to be upset and angry and bitter. His love, you think about His love, to be able to love selflessly, and His mercy, His forgiveness. Forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He's the standard. It doesn't say forgive one another because the law demands it. Forgive one another because of Christ. And the forgiveness of your sin that's found in Him. Would you even think of this at all if you were thinking about, I want to be like my Savior? Would you even think about this? Our Lord, He was mistreated, denied, opposed at every step. Everything He said brought down the wrath of the establishment religion upon Him. Everything that makes us angry was done to Him over and over. And He could have shut down anybody at any time He wanted to. He could have shut them down. He was grilled by Pilate, scourged and mocked by the soldiers, tortured by them, falsely accused, and arrested. And I know it's easy just to pass over these things, but think about that. if you were accused of something that you didn't do, even to the point of dying for it, it would eat you alive. If you had a way to get back at the ones that did that to you, you'd do it. Ultimately, of course, he was murdered in the most horrible way. And every step along the way, he could have stopped it. He could have called to his father, he said, for more than 12 legions of angels. When he flashed his glory for 1 second in the garden, the soldiers fell backward. What would happen if he had revealed his full glory? All he did is say, "I am," and they fell backward. That was just him saying who he was. That wasn't even a glimpse of wrath. The only time that we see our Lord ever showing anything like anger, and this is an important point to our text, is when the religious Jews had turned his house into a den of thieves. And this brings up a very important point. Look at us for a minute. Look at us. We get angry and pouty and bowed up and about the most trivial and insignificant things. And then when it comes to that which glorifies God, the worship, the ministry, supporting the ministry and being there when things need to be done and things like that, the love of his sheep, we know that he takes that personally. We know that he considers the treatment of his people as though it's himself. We know that. He said to Saul of Tarsus, "Why are you persecuting me?" So when it comes to those things, bearing fruit for his glory, we're not near so ferocious about those things as we are just the most trivial nonsense. Our Lord was jealous for his Father's glory when he platted that whip and drove out those that were turning his Father's house into a den of thieves. And he never showed any indignation, really, about anything else. His Father's glory. And we tend to be just the opposite. We just take those things that matter to God in this world, we can just kind of take them or leave them. But then something just, some nonsense, something that's totally insignificant, it's inconsequential, and yet we flare up, we get passionate about that. Here's the exhortation to us in James 1:19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." And that's another thing that's part of our text. Slow to wrath, that's certainly part of it, because the word anger is in our text. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." It never does. If it don't, it don't. Now, you may be thinking of that verse of Scripture that says, "The wrath of man glorifies God, and the remainder of wrath he shall restrain." There's a difference between it glorifying God and it working his righteousness. He uses everything for his glory, but that don't mean it's right. When we do it, whatever we do, he's going to work it for his own glory. He's going to get glory out of us whether we like it or not. But that don't make us right in the wrath, in the anger. And our text is not just about anger. Again, they're swift to hear, slow to speak. That's part of it too. It's the controlling of your spirit. The ruling of the spirit is what the way it says it in our text. In every way, controlling your spirit, not only in anger, but in lust. And that's not just sexual lust, that's lusting after the things of this world. That's all of the things that become idols to us. that we desire so much, that we it comes between us and the Lord Jesus. Impetuousness, like Simon, that's in all of us now. Not controlling what you say. Be slow to speak. Be careful about what you say. That's what we just read. Being a busybody in other men's matters. The scriptures addresses that. There are a lot of ways, and every one of them are addressed in the scripture, that the spirit is not ruled. And think about the message in our text. He that does, by God's grace, rule his spirit, controls his anger, his lust, his what he says, what he does, rules his spirit, he's the one that's really the strong one. This world has it backwards. To them, strength is, you know, the loudest, the most boisterous, the proud, the physical, you know, impressed by the physical aspect of somebody, or maybe their intelligence or whatever. It's the loudest one. It's the most boisterous that are considered strong. God says the one that's quiet, the one that doesn't have to have an opinion about everything, the one that lets it go, he's the strong one. Two men in conflict with one another, and one of them is boisterous and threatening and shouting, and the other's just standing there taking it. He's just standing there. I've got a picture of that I'd like to show you. Y'all ask me about that later. I've got a picture of that, a literal picture. Which one's the strong one? I thought carefully about what I'm about to say before I wrote it down in my notes, and I stand by it. One of the hardest things in this world is not killing somebody. You find that to be true? I mean, in our hearts. It's not that hard not to murder somebody, because you know there's consequences for that, and they're not good. So I mean in our hearts, mostly. Not taking somebody's head off, not getting back at somebody that's wronged you, not retaliating when somebody slanders you, not proving somebody wrong when they rebuke you, even if they are wrong. To rule our own spirit. Another reason that we need the grace of God at all times. All of these Proverbs, they point us to Christ, and they cause us to run to Christ. Don't neglect to pray for this gift, this grace. Remember these three small words that my pastor taught me 30 years ago. Let it go. Let it go. You've got to remember that at the right time, though. It's like, you know, your anniversary. You remembered it the day before, but you got to remember it at the right time. Let it go. Someone's wronged you, slandered you. It happens just about every day. Somebody's insulted you. Let it go. You can't resist the temptation to butt into somebody else's business. Happens all the time, doesn't it? Let it go. They don't need you. Nobody cares. They don't need you in their business. You're dying to boast. Our nature is to toot our horn every time we get a chance. Let it go. Let it go. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what you've done or accomplished or what you're proud about. Nobody cares. And if they did, remember this verse of Scripture. Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Do you know how obnoxious that is? I'm talking to myself. That's obnoxious. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. If somebody does care about you enough to care what you've done, just do it and shut up about it. You see what I'm talking about? Ruling your spirit. It's the anger, yes, specifically mentioned, because we'd have just about killed everybody by now if what was in our heart came out. Somebody does or says something, and you want to tell all of your gossip circle. Everybody's got a gossip circle, don't they? The two or three people, maybe more, that you tell everything to that happens. Let it go. Let it stink and go. God, give us grace to let it go. That is real strength. The boisterous person, the person that flies off the handle over insignificant, that person is weak. I don't want to be that. We're not going to overcome it without God's grace. If you can't rule your own spirit, you're weak. And you need the grace of God. And God gives that grace. He gives that grace. But as long as we indulge this flesh, and that's what it is now, you might think, boy, the believers back in the Old Testament, man, they had it tough. They had to literally fight the enemies of God with swords. David, I don't know how David slept at night, do you? But I tell you what's harder than that. It's what we have to do now if we're going to honor the Lord. Our enemy now, our own spirit, is a lot sneakier than the Philistines. A lot more insidious than the Philistines. And it takes a lot more strength to defeat him. It'll take the grace of God to do it. As long as we indulge this flesh, we're going to dishonor him now. And there's all kinds of horrible consequences. God forbid. Let's pray.